Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball. Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin.
And a very good afternoon right across New South Wales, Queensland, wherever you might be listening. It's a very happy Mother's Day to all the mums, the grandmums, the wives, the girlfriends, everybody celebrating Mother's Day wherever you are. We hope you have a wonderful and well-deserved celebration today. Look after your mum wherever you are. Just before we go to the boys, Storm 50, Souths 0, Penrith 48, Sharks 0, Parramatta 31, Roosters 18, Knights 24, Raiders 16, five straight losses for the Raiders. The boys will have plenty to say about that. Titans 36, Tigers 28. We'll have plenty to say about that as well. Cowboys, a great win over the Broncos 19-18. Mm. A quick look at the live ladder. Penrith 18, then Parramatta 16, Melbourne and Souths 14, Roosters 12. Then there's a gap of 4 points to the Dragons, Titans and Warriors. Now, Warriors, of course, play Manly today. There's a chance for both the Warriors and the Dragons to fill that gap today and jump up onto 10. So a big game for the Warriors today, which we will talk about in the course of the afternoon. Have score updates for you for that one as well. Now, before we go any further, Gordon Tallis, welcome to you.
Good afternoon, Anthony. How are you?
Fantastic. And you had a great Mother's Day. Obviously, you're away from home today.
You had to get up early. I rang Mum. Actually, she's not feeling well, but took Gemma out and got her a coffee. So two Mother's Days. Mm. So it was good.
Yeah.
And little Billy made her a little pot at kindy. Like, he's at daycare. Yeah, yeah. So painted a pot, which took him all week to do. Finger paint. Yeah, it's a great $300 that I spent for that. Daycare.
Paul, you've rung your mum up there. Where's she in Tweed Eds?
No, she's a little bit further up north now, right. Anthony. She's up at Bribey Island now, but she's going all right, so everything's good.
And Hoops, you were at home with your beautiful Jess. You would have made, what, breakfast in bed, and the kids would have helped and all that?
We had kids' footy very early this morning, Anthony, so we went and did that first. That was an 8 a.m. kickoff, and then we went home and we did breakfast at home after that.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was quality. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there. Do a fantastic job, and a lot of them involved in the greatest game of all as well.
Yeah, well said. Hoops, Kenny, and Gordy Tallis and Maroon here. So we're going to look at all these games over the course of the afternoon. First things first, though, I think the two most disappointing so far teams up until yesterday were probably the Knights and the Raiders. But the Knights came back from a big deficit to beat the Raiders, and that for the Raiders is their fifth straight loss. Before we dig deep into that one, what were your thoughts on the game, Hoops?
I think it's alarm bells for Canberra, the fact that they led 16-0 at half time and looked in complete control, and then half time rolls on and they come back out in the second half, and it was back to the bad old days. And now there's that scary statistic, which I think is they've had 93 points scored against them in second halves this season, and they've only scored 8 themselves. So yeah, there's some concerns there. Having said all of that, it's still a damn good roster.
Well, we look at the fact, boys, that they've lost 5 straight. They've lost 6 of the last 7, and remembering, if we can, they only got out of jail against Cronulla back in about round 2. So it's just been off the rails before the season even got going, Paul.
Yeah, it's been a disappointing season for the Raiders, no doubt. I think when teams go through these periods, I think everybody looks for what the problem is. And you it's probably a little bit of everything and not a lot of one thing. And I think because of that, the Raiders have really sort of struggled to get themselves right. There's no doubt, I think, that they were a team that were playing a really quick, up-tempo type of attack a couple of years ago. And I think the change in the rules last year, they adapted to that pretty well. But then they've gone again this year, and I think some of the players probably haven't adapted as well as they'd like, and the club's starting to realise that. And I also think that because of the rule change, it's forced every other team to also start to go down that second phase footy style, which the Raiders 2 years ago were clearly the best team in the NRL at doing. But now everybody's doing it. So that sort of unique talent that they had that separated them from the other teams is no longer there because the other teams are all doing it as well and often, as we've seen so far, doing it better. Because that's the thing that I've really, for my two cents, the second phase has just gone right out of the Raiders' footy, where it was that was their go. That's what separated them and made them such a dominant team for the past few seasons. But this season, it hasn't been there, and you see the likes of Melbourne are playing great second phase footy when they get a bit of momentum through their set. You see the Penrith are the best at it in the NRL. The Raiders are just getting left behind.
I know he's only one player, Kenty, but how much of a factor is John Bateman in all of that?
Massive. Look, John Bateman was an unorthodox player, but John Bateman brought a couple of things with him that's very hard to find. One, he was had a tremendous will to win that was it was magnetic. He dragged other players along with him, and the other thing was he was intimidating. He was tough. I remember a couple of years ago going down to watch the Raiders play Penrith at Wagga, and him and Kickow, like Johnny Bateman ended up getting hurt in the game, but him and Kickow, Bateman made it his mission to go after Kickow, and it was fighting way out of his weight division when you see the two men up against each other. But such was the tenacity that he brought. You saw Kickow and the Penrith players were a little bit put off by it. They just, well, hang on, didn't expect this. That encouraged the Raiders players, so they that's now out of their team. And it was always going to be a big loss, Johnny Bateman. It was always going to be underestimated how big a loss he would be, and I think we're starting to see that now.
The alarm for me is it's the senior players. Yeah, it's Croker, it's Hodson, Big Papali'i, and Tamani.
Joe Tarpanay.
Tarpanay, who is such a great young talent, that they're the ones that, you know, aren't playing or this or unhappy. If it's young kids, you can just get rid of them. But those are the guys that would be driving the standard, and all the young kids are seeing the standard that's getting set by those guys. So something's got to change. But I'm not saying that they can't win, because, you know, you're just one win away from all that external noise going away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or two or three wins away from that.
Well, they're probably a couple wins now. One win's not going to fix it for the Raiders. They're a couple wins now. Then they've got to have a couple of good wins. And they've got to get players like Josh Hodgson back playing good footy. They've got to get Jared Croker back playing good footy. And Gordon, to your point, I think that's what the Raiders have sort of, I think, figured out this year, was with the extra speed in the game because of the more six agains, a couple of those senior players just haven't adapted.
Yeah. And I've been in that situation. Like, and I've said it before, I played in the worst ever Broncos team in the best. I think in 99 we lost, or we'd won 1 out of 10 games. We drew 1-1 and beat South. South, yeah, we just brushed South away. Maroon, did you hear that?
I remember that game, mate, yeah.
But, like, and then we were soul-searching and we had a really good side. I know Elf and Steve Renoff and Angie G and Peter Ryan and those guys had left. But we still had a good young core of guys, Webke, you know, Sailor, and we were struggling. So we're working hard, we're going having a beer, we're going go-karting, we're going skirmishing, yeah, because we didn't know. Like, we were trying to find ourselves. Then all of a sudden it clicked, and then we went on a run and won, I think, 12 in a row.
How did it click? What clicked?
We just gutsed out a win. We just gutsed out one win, and then it kept a bit of pressure off us. And it was scrappy, and then each week we just improved. But we worked really hard. So, like, and that's what I'm saying, Paul. So sometimes, like, we were working that hard. We were carrying all our divots, mate. We were taking it home. It was pressure on the family. Everybody's getting asked, mate, what's wrong with the Broncos? Then all of a sudden you get one win, and you get two wins, and you get three wins, and then you could feel the pressure getting off, and then you could just concentrate on your job again and what, like, you bring for the team. But the further you get down, you start worrying about all your teammates and you hear the noise and it gets louder.
Mm. You had a hell of a roster that year that you're referencing, Gordon, at the Broncos. And look, I think this Canberra Raiders roster, I wouldn't put it quite on par with that Broncos side, but it's a terrific roster. Like, people at the beginning of the year, plenty of people were prepared to say that
they were
the premiers.
Yep.
Most people, most experts had them in their top four. And I think, to get a little bit pointed, Anthony, you can trace this back to, there was a game against Parramatta in round five, and the Raiders were beaten on home soil by the Eels. And after that, their coach, and this is what the good coaches have to do, decided, right, I've got to have some direct conversations, and the players that I need to be direct with, most of them are all my senior players, the leaders of this club. And so Ricky Stewart's done that. Off the back of that, Josh Hodgson has decided that he doesn't want to be the co-captain anymore. He picked up a calf injury. Jared Croker ended up re-injuring his shoulder in the next couple of games, and he's now been sitting out for the last couple of weeks. Josh Papali'i, this was a big one for me. The fact that he wanted, like, I don't know exactly what's happened there.
Did he want a week off, or did he get given a week off?
Gordy, I'm being straight. I don't know what the story was there. All I know is I find it's staggering that the best prop in the game would want to have a week off at this stage of the of the season.
It was the best prop in the game last year, not this year.
Yeah.
Let's pause. Everybody's got a question about the Raiders and dissension in the ranks. So everybody was into Ricky Stewart in the press conference about that. Have a listen.
Were you happy with the way the guys sort of responded in that first half? I guess they looked like they put a lot of their problems behind them.
Yeah, they're problems that you read. They're not problems inside the camp. So as much as you want to read into it, they're problems that everybody enjoys reading and speculating on, but we're a happy camp in regards to what you read.
Okay, there he is talking about that. Now, obviously the next question, Paul.
I just want to say one thing about that is that if it is an unhappy camp, generally when teams are unhappy, they start poorly. And the Raiders haven't been starting poorly. The Raiders have been starting well. Their problem is that they're not staying with the speed of the game. And that's why they're getting, what's your stat, 93-6?
93-8 in the last 5 weeks.
In the second half. And that's where they've lost the games, in the second half of every game. And so, and that's, to me, that's not an unhappy camp problem. That's a off the speed type problem where they just can't stay with teams as the game gets into that period where you need a little bit of attrition.
Yeah, but I think where people are calling it a little bit of BS on the whole, you know, we are all hunky-dory and happy days is it's not just one issue with one player. It's a variety of different issues and it's multiple senior players at the joint. Look, I'll back Ricky Stewart. He's the coach of the joint. He's a premiership winning coach. He knows how to fix it. But at the moment, they're in a rut. That's the situation.
Now, the other thing was I thought he was composed – very composed at the press conference yesterday, but there was a couple of little hints that he might be about to erupt. Have a listen to this.
Is it a matter of just nursing them, or you stay away from the spray or giving it to them? You seem pretty subdued in the shed, sir.
No, did I? That's good.
Is that the approach you took, Pat? Or you were fired up? You were more fired up?
No, I wasn't fired up. Me.
Yeah, so that seemed like it kind of went under the radar a little bit, but
not anymore.
Yeah, it's classic Sticky.
All this stuff, you talk about them starting well, Paul, but Gordy, from the point of view of a player that runs out there, now we've seen them get mowed down a couple of times from behind. What goes through your head? You've got a big lead, then the other team scores a try. Do you go, oh, well, here we go again. We're gone.
Well, I heard Mel Meninga talk about it last night on Fox. There's not enough resilience with some of the lower clubs and maybe with the Raiders where they're at. And it's just confidence. I tell you, once it goes, I don't know how you get it back. And it's a million-dollar question. And as I said, if they get it back and they win a couple of games, it becomes easy. Winning's contagious and so is losing. And at the moment, they're in a rut and they get ahead and they think that their job's done, right? And they think Newcastle's going to fall over and they're not going to fight back. Then they score a try and then the Knights go, hey, that wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like then they've had all the ball and, you know, and then they start feeling it. Like, mate, I watched it with the Titans and the Broncos. It was 22-0 after 20 minutes.
Mm.
Then Brisbane scored 38.
Minutes, I think it was.
Yeah, 38 unanswered points. Yeah. How does that come? How did Brisbane turn the lights on? And then last night, it was their best quality game of the year.
Boys, we've got a couple of calls coming through here.
I don't know.
The phone's gone absolutely bunter over this topic of Raiders, and we'll get to the Tigers a little bit later on as well. But 133353, let's go to Alfred's Point. Jared is on the phone. Jared, firstly, have you wished your mum a happy Mother's Day?
Oh, of course, mate. Otherwise, I would have copped it like no other if I didn't. Trust me.
Righto, mate. What did you want to say?
Just had a quick question, guys. Just for going back to around Canberra's form at the moment, my because you were saying that obviously Ricky's had the tough conversations with a lot of senior players in the group, whether George Williams' sort of timing of, you know, becoming homesick or, you know, wanting to go back to England, do you reckon that's a result of maybe Ricky having that tough conversation with him about how his performance hasn't been up to standard and then that's why he's having second thoughts about playing the game in Australia at the moment?
Yeah, it's a fair question, Jared. I don't think it is a result of that tough conversation because off the back of it becoming public that George is a little bit homesick and it's important to point out his partner's pregnant at the moment and because of the COVID shutdown all over the world, it's meant that his family and his partner's family. Nobody's been able to come out here, and conversely, nobody's been able to go back over to the UK either. But off the back of this story becoming public, it then emerged that somebody acting on behalf of George Williams had been asking questions out here amongst other NRL clubs over the summer, suggesting that George might be looking for the full Australian experience, and he'd like to live closer to the beach, right. That sort of thing. So I don't think that it is a result of a couple of the harder conversations that have taken place over the course of this year.
Okay, well, look, thank you for your call, mate, and all the best for your family for Mother's Day. Now, you say one win might start to get them back on track, boys. Well, magic round up there at the beautiful Suncorp Stadium. They take on the Doggies at 3 o'clock next Saturday. So with due respect to Trent and the boys, you would think if they do lose that one, well, there's going to be some questions that certain people will want answered.
That's what they'll call rock bottom.
Okay.
The Dogs.
Are you calling that game, Anthony?
I believe I am heading up to Brisbane to call that one. We've got a big full card up there, full dance card up there at Brisbane.
You have got a full, what day are you going up?
I'm going up Friday morning. Thanks for asking. We've got a big function at Brothers Ipswich, me and Fletch and Hindy, all up into the Knights Tigers game.
Here we go.
Fletch, Hindy and I.
And then Fletch, Hindy and I, that's right, yeah. Mm. I'm going to go and see the grandkids. They live in Warner in Queensland, in Brisbane.
How much folding?
No folding. It's not a folding. But look,
there's no way Fletch and Heine are doing it without folding. and just out of guilt, they've got to offer you something.
No, well,
they mightn't get there because they're catching a Winnebago with Matt from Collaroy.
I know that. Well,
they mightn't get it. Yeah. They might stop in Byron.
Yeah. That's on my mind.
So then you just keep my number because I'm only about 20 minutes away from
it. Yeah. Mate, don't worry. I've rented the littlest, cheapest car I could get. And I'll come around to your joint and you'll look like a circus bear going to a switch or nothing. All right, boys. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Tigers fans, get ready. We're going to jump into the Tigers next. 1-3-3-5-3. Are you a Tigers fan? We've all heard all sorts of nonsense over the last week or two. They should drop them out of the NRL. They should disband the joint venture. This is all rubbish as far as I'm concerned, but 1-3-3-5-3. Tigers fans, what's on your mind? We'll talk about it next as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. Got a couple of games on today. Warriors Manly. That game's going to be an absolute cracker. Manly have come back from the dead this year. Then, of course, it's the Dragons and the Doggies. But so far, Storm 50, Souths 0. Penrith 48, Sharks 0. Parramatta 31, Roosters 18. Knights 24, Raiders 16. Titans 36, Tigers 28. I think that score flatters the Tigers a little bit. Cowboys 19, Broncos 18. Today, Manly Warriors, Dragons and Dogs. Just before we go any further, by the way, those scores are thanks to Tyre Power. The big freeze sale is now on. Get the power of Australia's biggest independent tyre network. Xavier Coates officially joining Melbourne Storm. Both clubs have released statements. A two-year deal. Xavier Coates officially joining the Melbourne Storm on a two-year deal. So we've got Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper and Maroon. The Titans beat the Tigers 36-28. I believe that score flattered the Tigers a little bit. They came back toward the end and put some points on. Now we're getting all sorts of talk about what is wrong with the Tigers. They're down close to the bottom of the ladder. They can't get a win at the moment. They're getting a lot of points racked up against them. Let me out 1-3-3-5-3. But we always lay our cards on the table here. Oops, you're a Tigers man. What's wrong?
Well, they missed a kick last night. They weren't at the races and the Gold Coast just went bang, bang, bang and it's 18-0. It's ground
up. It was embarrassing. Like, for the Tigers to not turn up again to a performance which was supposed to honour one of their great warriors, to go out and be so lethargic and weak in their approach to the game, I don't know what goes through their head. Someone said to me yesterday when I was watching the game, do they need to get rid of the coach? I said, they don't need to get rid of the coach. They need to get rid of the players. The players are the guys that are losing the game. Like the coach knows how to coach. And I wrote about this earlier in the week about the mental toughness it takes in the game. The Tigers have got no mental strength. And the minute Michael Maguire, and I feel sorry for Michael Maguire, the minute Michael Maguire tries to toughen them up a little bit, they whinge. He trains too hard. So Michael Maguire is now in this space where he can't train too hard because his job future it could be on the line because the players can whinge. You never hear of anyone coming out of Melbourne complaining that they're training too hard.
Because Bellamy's too big, and that's the problem, and Wayne Bennett's too big. Mm. Right, so you can't really bag.
But they train as hard.
Absolutely.
They train harder in Melbourne. They train harder in Melbourne than they do at the Tigers. But absolutely. No one whinges because they know it brings success. And that's the price you've got to pay to have success.
But the Tigers want
to be known as footballers. They just don't want to act like footballers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But with respect, though, you talk about Craig Bellamy and Wayne Bennett and Robbo, but Michael Maguire is a premiership-winning coach here and in the UK.
Yeah, and in both states rebuilt the clubs.
Yep.
But what he's got is he's got two biggest a group of players who have got soft underbellies.
The club's got a soft underbelly. The club's always had a soft underbelly. The only grand final they won was an 05.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys, they beat them 50, and it was high scoring. That's when it changed, and it wasn't defence orientated. It was attack.
It was a shootout.
And
they didn't beat them by 50 in the GF.
But in the first finals, they did.
Yep.
Right. But that year, it was more of a touch football competition.
Yeah, it was.
From my memory.
By the fact that the Tigers and the Cowboys were the two teams in the grand final. And the Tigers earlier in the year, after five rounds, were 66-1 to win the comp.
Yep.
They just went on this streak. Mm. I've spoken to some people at the club who say they're right behind Mike Maguire. They believe in what he's doing, and they're going to stick with him through the long haul. The only way the Tigers will ever turn around is if they stick with Michael Maguire. Yeah.
The Dragons had the same problem because Wayne Bennett asked me, he goes, what's wrong with the Dragons? I said, I always felt that we never got respect, that there was always a soft underbelly.
Yeah.
So he bought Neville Costigan and Bo Scott and all those guys. The Tigers need a no-nonsense, like a Nathan Brown. Get those guys in there that are no-nonsense.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. That drive your standards because the standards that he wants, nobody is prepared to drive it for him there. And you got to go buy those players that have that standard, that said no, that had the cuts, that had a dad clip them around the ears and tell them no, and they've had setbacks in their life that when they get to a game of rugby league and someone scores a try, it doesn't worry them.
Yeah, too often. See, I reckon because of all this rubbish sports science, okay, which tells you where you got your GPS on you, strap on, and the trainer comes over and says, listen, mate, you've already run 7Ks this week, so you can sit down now, okay?
Don't forget the red dot and the blue dot and the green dot.
All this stuff. And all you're doing is finding excuses. They're physically sharp, but they're mentally, I wouldn't say they're mentally weak, but they're mentally not tough. And so what's happening is you're not breeding mentally tough footballs. The Storm do because they train tough. They go to the threshold and they red line, and when it gets tough like that, Bellamy says he's still going and he doesn't let him quit. And so that's why when the Storm are playing a game of footy and their backsides are hanging out, they are still mentally tough enough to do their job and stay within their structure. Whereas the Tigers, they just go to pieces.
They turn up for each other.
Yep. Tigers go to pieces because they're mentally tough. They start looking after themselves. What you got to do is you got to start. I think there's a really bad precedent at most clubs whereby coming through the junior ranks because they're trying to apply all the latest sports science, you're getting all these superbly fit, finely tuned athletes who are mentally susceptible. So they're getting to first grade and they're not mentally tough.
Well, I remember Wayne Bennett one. Mm. I remember one of my coaches one day, there was a guy in the physio goes, listen, mate, I think he probably needs a week off. Wayne goes, don't tell him, I'll tell him. Yeah. Hey, mate, just spoke to the physio. He said, you're right. Yeah. He's got to tough it out. Mm. He played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, just don't tell them. Mm. Don't go get an x-ray. You don't know your arm's broken. Don't give them an excuse. And then they don't give them an excuse.
There's a great story when Michael Mora was fighting as a heavyweight.
Michael Mora.
Okay. And Teddy Atlas was his trainer. And Michael Mora was known as a lazy trainer. And Teddy Atlas got to him, started to train him, and he realized he wasn't a lazy trainer. He was a good trainer, but he realized he was mentally weak. And so what he would do is in his preparation for a fight, he would miss a road session or he'd miss a session at the gym later that day. He'd miss a couple sessions. And that's what created the reputation that he was weak, that he was a bad trainer. But what it was, Teddy Atlas identified from a psychological point of view, was what he was doing was he was giving himself
an excuse
to lose.
Mm.
So if he lost the fight, he could say, well, if I trained harder, if I hadn't missed that session, if I'd done that that road work, I would have won.
Yeah.
And that's how he made a little secret deal with himself to be able to live with himself if he lost the fight. And so when Michael Moore fought Evander Holyfield for the heavyweight title, he was determined not to let him miss a session. He said, if I take that session and he doesn't miss a session, then he's got no excuse to quit on me during the fight. So what he did was during the whole preparation, he'd ring him up every morning, 4 a.m., mate, get up, time to go to road work. Yep, up you go. One more, mate, I'm not doing it today. You are doing it. I'm not doing it today. Teddy Atlas got in the car and drove around, got him out of bed. Mate, you're going on your run. Right. Made him go on his run. And so by the time he got in that ring, he had not missed a session. And he said to him, there are no excuses, mate, for you to lose today. You're a better fighter than him. You know how to win the fight. Go out and win the fight. And he went out and he won the fight. He went out and won the fight. And that was the mental key that the Tigers are always looking for an excuse not to have a go. There's a reason they lost. Why they lose now? Because Madge's trained them too hard. Forgive me. It's not Madge's fault.
Humans have only got better, right? So I don't want to be a dinosaur. So the players in the 80s and 70s, they did road runs, right? And that's how they got fit. We had a run in Brisbane and they said, don't stop. And it was 8.5 Ks and it was through the hill. And I came from St. George and I'd played Origin and we used to train pretty hard under Brian Smith and it was really tough sessions. And then they said, whatever you do, Gordy, don't stop. And the first hill's about 1.8 K and then you go down and then the last hill, they call it Heartbreak, it's about 500 metres. So whatever you do, just don't stop. Benny will be somewhere running with you, whatever. And I was just about to stop because it was a tough run and I wasn't used to do it. And he just said, don't even think about it, with a few other words. And Wayne Bennett was like a prey man, a stuck to a tree. I couldn't see him. I couldn't see him. But
the hairy
it was
crow.
Just don't give up on yourself.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And then I turned up late for training one day. He told me to go home. Mm. In no uncertain terms, I was 15 minutes late, but I was early. But he changed training time. That's how you got treated. But that was it. We played a man's sport.
Yeah,
and I'm going out there to take on a 120-kilo guy, and they got to treat you like a man or treat you like a boy.
Yeah.
All right, boys.
I don't get it.
133353. The phone has gone crazy here. West Tigers, West Magpies fans, Balmain Tigers. Everybody wants to have their say. Let's go to Heartland, to Campbelltown. Josh, you've got plenty to say about this whole West Tigers thing.
Haven't we? Well, no, just go back to the Magpies for starters. That'll do. We'll win games then if we go back to our Magpies. A bit of Tommy spirit. But away from that, bring in Jock Madden, appeal number 7. Brooks, move aside. Tookie Simpkins, he's got second phase. He's 12 months away from being a real good footballer from the Cowboys. He is outstanding in the middle of that New South Wales Cup. He'll offer something, and he's aggressive. He'll get up the line and want to hurt you. There's two things that Madden should do. And then also get an assistant coach who's actually going to be an NRL coach. The two or three blokes he's got now, they're not going to coach NRL. The good clubs have got NRL coaches as the offsider. So it's Madge trying to do the whole lot. From an outside looking in, obviously, he's trying to do the lot where the good clubs, they've got two or three blokes.
Who is it? Billy Millard and
Snoopy Collins.
Yeah. Mm. They're not going to coach NRL. No offense, so might be, they're not. And you need a good young up-and-coming coach. Roosters have got Fitzgibbon. The Panthers, who have they got? They've got Cameron Sorrella coach. So there's two good guys. Steve Kearney's gone back to Melbourne. He's going to give you good ideas. They've got Madge going, you see him sitting in the box looking at Madge, and someone say something to the poor bloke. He's got to have some offside. That's your job. Be an assistant coach and assist coaching him. They might win a few more games that way.
Good on you. Well said. Yeah. Well said, Josh. Thank you for your call, mate.
And
while I've got you, boys, let me just play you what Michael Maguire had to say after last night's defeat to the Titans.
Yeah, everyone's jobs are accountable around what we do on the field and how we train. And, you know, I've got some good young players coming through in reserve grade that are performing well. So I've just got to have a look at the dynamics of what we're doing, because we've got to do something to fix this consistency around what's been going on for quite some time. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I wish him all the success in the world because I love the bloke. He got my side a premiership. And as you said, Paul, whatever they do, they've got to stick by him.
Yeah, look, the only concern I got there, you know, with what they're doing lately is the signing of blokes like BJ Lalua and James Roberts, who I think I look at them as panic signings. I think they're not Michael Maguire-style players. He likes consistent players who you know what you're going to get out of every week. If you get a 7 out of 10 every week, you can deal with that in your side. And Michael Maguire coaches that way. Joey Leilua can be, he can be a 9 out of 10 or he can be a 3 out of 10.
Mm, yeah.
And you just don't know what you're getting. And to the point, first half can be 9 and second half can be 3. And that's not the sort of players that you turn things around. And I think they've got to just be really tough and really disciplined in their recruitment. They copped a lot of heat last year when they let Benji Marshall go. And look, I think I could understand why they wanted more consistency in their defensive line there, and Benji was obviously, everyone watches how brilliant he is in attack, but defence, Maguire said, I can't set a standard within the club if the player I'm picking every week's not holding that standard. Mm. So I just think they've got to be really disciplined in their recruitment and really be clear about what sort of club and what sort of team they're trying to build here. I don't quite. There's a couple of little things. Like I said, the Robertson Leilua signings, I look at it, well, hang on, that sort of goes against where you're trying to go. And I wonder whether that's a result of the pressure that's being applied. And Maguire thinks he needs quick results rather than the club being.
No doubt about it. No question whatsoever.
How many coaches have they had? They've had Potter, Taylor, Cleary.
Team
Cleary.
It's important to point out, right? Everyone always says they've sacked 5 coaches in the last 8 years.
Yeah, they haven't.
They sacked Tim Shunes. That was a grave mistake, and they've been Groundhog Day going around in circles. No, they speared him.
Now, they speared his contract, though.
No, he didn't. They speared Sheensy because he sued him afterwards, and it cost him millions in a payout as well. They speared Sheensy. Then they brought in Mick Potter. They let Mick Potter go. Like, his deal was up.
They let it
after
expire.
After 2 years, they let it expire. They brought in Jason Taylor. Sacked Jason Taylor. Then they brought in Ivan Cleary. Ivan left. He sacked them. He did the get on the bus. You got to be on the bus or off the bus. Then he got off the bus himself. Right. And they've been, you know, just going around in circles.
Like the fat controller and a Thomas.
You know what? Josh brings up a point, and it's not a good point, but this is what happens with all these, the two joint ventures we have left. Soon as there's a drama in the ranks, he says, should go back to being the Magpies. And then Tigers fans say, we should go back to just being Balmain. You know,
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
West Tigers.
It's not going to happen. But it's this should not, if they're a united club.
But this is what happens in all joint ventures. This is what happens. You ask any Illawarra person.
Let's remember.
Ask every Illawarra fan, mate. They love their socks running out every Sunday.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
But, mate, the point is this, right? There's not a person who would be 25 who could remember
less
West or Balmain playing Western Suburbs Bay. That's where the game's. It's too late to go back to one or the other now.
Yeah.
Same as it is with the other joint ventures. It's done. Yeah, they are now bolted in those two clubs.
So I suppose in another 20 years we're all old and dead. Well, it never happened. Western and the Tigers.
It's still in the history books.
I know it's in the history.
North Sydney Bears.
Because we're still alive and we remember them.
But no one's ever run around complaining the Glebe aren't there anymore.
That's the point I'm making.
Wasn't there an Annandale team back in the
Right? And Uni.
So did you call a couple of those games?
I did, mate. Yeah, I actually called Uni versus Mounties back in the 1947. Seth Blinkhorn scored a try. So, boys, we'll take.
Ezzy was running the line.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was big, man.
The old Malabar Moose was on the wing. Yeah, old Ezzy. Boys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Jaden Brayley from the Newcastle Knights for a chat. They had a good win yesterday. Maroons Trivia Night comes up as well. Great prize today. We've got some chicken twisties. They come into conversation last week. Chicken twisties. We are going to give away a packet of fresh chicken twisties.
Is Maroon Confidential back today as
Maroon
well?
Maroon Confidential is back today.
Outstanding.
And we have got one of rugby league's hottest new identities that's gone all out rebel, all out one percenter on a motorbike. Or is it a motorbike? Anyway, we'll talk about that more shortly as Triple M rocks footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, welcome back to. We're going to have a bit of fun shortly with Maroons Trivia coming up a little bit later on. Confidential too. We've got a couple of bits and pieces there. Might even have a shush, a guess who, don't sue.
What's the trivia topic today, Anthony?
Well, it's just general knowledge. I hope you didn't sneak a peek at the questions while I was out.
No.
Right?
He's still about 4-1.
We've had the stewards' inquiry. We've had the stewards inquiry after last week when you were trying to show Gordon the answers.
Yeah.
Now,
I was.
They've done an internal audit.
Yeah, no, I am guilty of that. I was doing that, but only because I was trying to help him because, you know, I didn't want to, you know, because you were giving me all sorts of nonsense grief last week, weren't you? All sorts. Who was the other? Who was it with us? Benji.
Yes, Benji was in. Well, he's always comes in for the last.
He's got to go, mate. He's got to go.
Boy, don't bag Benji when he's not here.
No, I just think we could probably just shop that bit of the show around a bit. Anyway, look,
back on point.
We've got Knights 24, Raiders 16. It was a great win for the Knights yesterday to get their season back on track. Let's bring in one of the heroes from yesterday from the Knights. Jaden Brayley joins us on the Sunday Sinbin.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Mate, well, firstly, that kickoff after half time, that first kickoff, that was an absolute masterstroke.
Yeah, it was. I was pretty happy to see that come off. There was nothing we planned during the week or something we saw on video. I think the coaches said that they kept it under wraps, and then obviously we saw their formation off kickoff, and there was a bit of space there. So KP worked a bit of magic, and he sort of got our second half to a positive start.
Mate, talk us about when you were down 16-0, what was said at halftime?
It was actually pretty good talking in the sheds at halftime. It was calm, and but it was pretty direct. I think what let us down the first half, we were too loose defensively, especially in that middle third. You know, Papali'i was steaming through that middle third, and, you know, I think we gave up too many offloads, and we had 20-odd missed tackles, so it wasn't good enough in that area, and it's something we spoke about. And, you know, we couldn't afford to leak any more points in that second half because we're already 16 points down. So, you know, I was just so proud of the boys that we managed to keep them to nil in that second half, and, you know, we found a way to win.
When you got into that second half, mate, could you sense a change in the Raiders?
I'm not too sure. I mean, I sort of, for us, I could tell you how we felt, I think, obviously, when we completed a lot higher and we tightened up that middle third, I felt we started to make a little bit more inroads. And I think in the first half, our completions were nowhere near up to scratch either. I think we were around 50%. So once we clicked in the gear, I think that's when we got our joy. And, you know, as I said, we were very scratchy in that first half. But, it felt a whole lot better in that second half. Once we held the footy and kicked the corners and made the most of our opportunities.
Jaden, you had to fight right to the very end. It was a cracking contest. Were you surprised when Jordan Rapana kicked so early in the tackle count, when he made that break late in play and you obviously made that epic tackle?
I'm not too sure. I mean, I think it was just a lot of, I guess at the time, they probably had a few more tackles up their sleeve. But, you know, we had a lot of, I felt like in the last 10 minutes, especially when the game was in the balance, what I was most proud of with us was there was a lot of Knights jerseys in the picture when the game was in the balance. And as I said, like when the ball was on the ground, you know, there was always a Knights guy jump on the footy, whether it was Musgrove or, you know, even both our wingers saving tries. And I just felt like we really turned up for one another. And I touched on previously, I think it was those effort areas that was missing there over the last couple of weeks that stood out for me. Yesterday in Wagga that really brought the game home to us.
Talking about effort, your two front rowers were absolutely outstanding yesterday in Clement Saifidi.
Yeah, 100%. They were outstanding, I thought, as well. They worked bloody hard in the middle. In the first half, we were under the pump a fair bit defensively, and they just hang in there, and they're very tough. And as a hooker, it's a joy to play off the back of those big guys. You know, it's not hard for them to find some ruck speed and some go forward. And I thought they led from the front yesterday and made my job a whole lot easier at hooker and played a big part in, you know, turning the game around for us.
Speaking of your job, Jaden, another part of that this year's been the leadership of the club. How are you finding that, especially when, you know, the Knights have gone through a couple of little speed bumps the last few weeks?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. You know, I'm still learning along the way. I'm only a young captain, but for me, you know, it's something I don't take lightly. You know, every week it's a massive honour to be able to run the boys out and obviously have that C next to my name. It's just a massive honour. I can't just enough how privileged I am to, you know, be in this position. But I think the way this season has been, I felt like I've been able to, I've dealt with a fair bit of a roller coaster from week to week. And I felt like the week that's just gone was probably my, you know, a big test for me. You know, I think it's easy to lead when things are going well and everything's rosy, but I feel like when it's when your team's, you know, struggling a little bit and we're down the dumps, I feel like I really had to, you know, stand up last week, both at training and for the game. So, you know, I just want to do the best for my teammates and do everything I can on the field and play a good game of footy personally, which I think is really important.
Jaden, can you give us an insight into the kinds of things you've said to the players and you've asked of the players in those moments to that you just spoke about?
Yeah, just hanging in there. I mean, through the week, obviously, you know, as a team, which I think based on how we were performing, you know, there was a lot of things said and, you know, a lot of it was warranted, I believe. You know, we weren't playing good football as a team and we're lacking in those effort areas, which you touched on before. But, you know, as a team, I just, you know, kept relaying to the boys, you know, that we know that we know what we're capable of and we just need to keep that belief and we need to just show a little bit more grit in our performances and especially, as I said, in the games, in the moments which mean most, which is, you know, in that last 10 minutes when the game's in the balance. So, you know, we just wanted to have a really strong performance, you know, not focus on the result, but just get back to Knights football and playing tough and playing resilient. And, you know, as I said, I'm just so proud of the boys yesterday that we were able to play with that grit that we know we can do. But now it's about doing that week after week and being consistent because that's what it takes to win football games. You have to be able to produce that every single week. And, you know, now our focus turns on to Tigers this Friday night.
How tough was it to rally them for the game last night, given the previous week?
It wasn't too hard, if I'm being honest. I mean, since last Saturday against the Roosters, I think from 1 to 17, we had that sort of that sick feeling in our stomach, that fire in the belly, I believe. You know, we took it to heart, took it to personal with how we performed. You know, it wasn't good enough against the Roosters here at home, but and I think it's just we're disappointed because we know that we're such a better football side than what we produced. And to be honest, like leading into the game, we knew it was a big week, but we couldn't wait to get out there and produce a response as well. And, you know, as I said, like the first half, you know, definitely wasn't too great. We didn't start off very well, but the second half was Knights football, and yeah, I'm just really proud that we're able to clear our way back and in a position to win the game and end up coming away with the 2 points.
We were talking earlier on the show, Jaden, about mental toughness and how it's almost come at the cost of sports science these days to ensure that players are kept fresh and up on their toes. They're not pushed to the limits like they have been in previous years, in previous, you know, generations. And because of that, we often see these periods in games where teams just don't have the mental strength to stay in the contest. Do you have a thought on why that is so?
I'm not too sure. I definitely think obviously with the rule changes, I think teams are under a lot more fatigue, and I can definitely feel the games quickened up. You know, I've sat out for.
Are you used to that fatigue though? Like, do you get to that stage often in your training that you know how to work through it and persevere?
Yeah, 100%. Well, we train pretty hard here at the Knights, and we have big pre-seasons. And through the week, in particular last week, we probably did a little bit more at training to put us under that, you know, physical stress. And as you said, touched on, you know, I think the good teams are able to persevere and stay in there when the times get tough and just hang in there and you know, shut teams out. You know, I think that's massive. And, you know, at the Knights, we want to be a resilient football team, and because every team can attack well, but if you're able to shut them out, and especially at times when you're not feeling the best, you know, I think that's massive and a really big sign of mental toughness. So that's a big part of our game and how we want to be known for as a football team. It's just,
No, we've got to do it week after week.
Good on you, mate. All the very best with it. I hope you get to catch up with your mum or give her a phone call. I was just wondering what it must have been like for you, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, playing NRL level and playing against your brother.
Yeah, it was a very special day for us. I think I had about 15 or 20 family members there here at Newcastle. So it was a pretty special day for all of us. And yeah, definitely one that we'll never forget. I'm just happy that I've got the bragging rights for the first time around.
Yeah,
which was nice.
For the Brayley Cup. Good on you, mate. And all the very best for Magic Round.
Too easy. Thanks, East guys.
There he is, Jaden Brayley, joining us from the mighty Newcastle Knights. It's Triple M Sunday Sin Bin with Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper and Maroon. Of course, last week I made the comment that whatever Paul says, Hoops says. I said if Paul wanted chicken twisties, Hoops would want chicken twisties.
Oh, is that why you're going with the chicken twisties?
So we've got
today,
chicken twisties to give away. Well, Asunta Soprano, our listener from Abbotsbury, has said, I heard the comment. I just so happened to have just been down to the Hot Dollar store in Liverpool and bought a box of chicken twisties. So she sent a couple of packs in. And we're going to give them away next on Maroon's Quiz as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. We've got a game kicking off very shortly, Manly and the Warriors. We'll have score updates for you for that game too here as Triple M rocks the footy. Right now, though, we're going to lighten things up a bit. It's time for this.
Welcome to Maroon's Trivia Night.
So we've got our Trivia Night now, which is in full swing. Of course, we're giving away chicken twisties on the back of me saying that whatever Paul says, Hoops says. If Paul wants chicken twisties, so does Hoops. So chicken twisties today, courtesy of our friend Asunta Soprano. And we might even throw in a couple of frozen Sunny Boys as well that we've got in the freezer.
Cola.
But we haven't had a packet of chicken.
You've opened the twisties.
I have. But I've still got a couple of packets.
You've opened the prize.
I've still got...
You've opened the prize, old chainsaw teeth just ripped in.
She's got about 10 packets here. Buffhead, Festa. Let's get stuck into it. Your name is your buzzer. For the chicken twisties today, are we all ready? Right, here we go. Approximately 79... It's general knowledge today too, by the way. Approximately 79% of the world's population has what colour eyes?
Paul. Brown.
Yeah, brown. 1-0. Question number two. Who lost the grand final in 2003?
Paul. Oops.
Paul.
Roosters.
Oh, he's too quick. He's too quick. Don't worry. If he gets a packet of twisties, I've got a pack for you too.
Thanks, Anthony. Chainsaw teeth.
Mate,
thank you.
My teeth are perfectly straight.
In fact,
your friend,
you've had them done. Yeah.
Your friend from boarding school.
I tell you what, well, your mirror must be broken.
I tell you what, mate, your mate from boarding school. Yeah.
Mark. It's a mosaic mirror.
Yeah, didn't he? Down there at the Macquarie Street.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got plenty.
I know that for a fact because
I gave it to him.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Your name is your buzzer. What rock pop star died on Christmas Day in 2016?
Paul. David Bowie.
And that's incorrect.
Oh, is it?
It's George Michael. Hey, you're a chance here, Gordy. You're a chance here, Hoops.
He died just after Bowie, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. 1-0 is the score. Mm. All right, here we go. This is appropriate. What American state is the Lone Star State?
Paul. Texas.
2-0. Oh. Okay, here we go. Do you want to check your buzzer works, Hoops?
Working?
All right, okay. I told you today, mate, just run at me. Just run at me.
Mate.
It's 2-0. Here we go. In which Bond film did Daniel Craig debut?
Paul. Casino Royale.
Oh, he's even got one wrong, and he's still won 3-0. He's absolutely lapped you blokes. We got to can this competition. There's no competition.
It's good, Anthony. It's good radio.
I think you feel a little bit down when you lose.
Next week, I'll sit the first two questions out. Okay? Well, that's what you do. Look, you put 60 kilos on Farlap, so I'll sit down. I'll sit the first two.
We don't call you Farlap. We call you Alvin Purple, don't we? And we're going to take a break and come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.